Halleck worried about Lincoln's exposure during the open inauguration. Pickets had been placed at roads and bridges leading into Washington. At all the street corners from the White House to the Capitol, squads of cavalrymen had been posted to watch crowds straining for a peek at Lincoln and his carriage. Riflemen leaned out open windows from the Capitol, and police in plain clothes mixed in with the audience. John Wilkes Booth, also an actor but not nearly as talented as his older brother Edwin, stood on a balcony behind the inaugural stands watching the ceremony. When Lincoln walked out of the rotunda's east door to the platform, police seized an excited young man trying to break through the line they had set up to keep the crowd out. An officer later testified that Booth looked like the man who had been briefly detained in the scuffle. As head of the Secret Service in Washington, Lafayette Baker's job was, or should have been, to collect intelligence on threats to the president. With newspapers and administration officials speculating about danger to Lincoln, one would expect Baker to be in the city inauguration day to keep watch for trouble. But that was not the case. He was away in New York, investigating what had become rampant corruption in the way young men were put into the U.S. Army and Navy. The Union needed massive numbers of troops by the winter of 1862 and 1863. With the system that enticed volunteers for service breaking down, Congress passed the Enrollment Act in March 1863. Americans, for the most part, hated what became the country's first national draft law. The legislation had loopholes, so a well-off draftee could escape service by paying a substitute to take his place. Resistance among the poor quickly became widespread, with draft riots erupting in New York City 4 months after the law was passed. To avoid the distasteful job of forcing the unwilling into service, communities around the country, each of which had enlistment quotas to meet, began offering men cash rewards called bounties to lure them into volunteering for the military. Corruption blossomed from the bounties. Communities competed with their offers that could run $300 or higher for each man. Potential recruits roamed different towns looking for the highest bounty districts. Some men who became known as bounty jumpers grew wealthy enlisting, deserting, and then enlisting again dozens of times. The system also produced a core of unscrupulous entrepreneurs called bounty brokers, who interposed themselves between the recruits and the bounties they collected for volunteering.